this is Julianne Good, and this is Psych 101. Welcome. We are here to make psychology more understandable with tips for you, your family, and friends to make your lives easier and better. How are you doing tonight? I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, I'm feeling pretty positive. It's been cooling down in Southern California, finally. And I think people are mellowing out a little bit on their issues for anger. And they've been a little short-fused lately. I know heat does that to people. But anyways, my special guest tonight is Sat Khalsa, and he is from Mesa, Arizona. He is a substance abuse therapist at the Corrective Healthcare in Mesa. And we're going to be talking about men's issues this evening. How are you doing, Sat?
Doing good.
Wonderful.
Can you hear me okay, Julie?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Excellent. What a miracle.
Yes, wonderful. Okay, yeah. Now, Sat and I have known each other for over 20 years now, right?
Oh, man, a long time.
I know. It's been a good friendship. We have a lovely group of friends over in the Phoenix area, and we get to get together every once in a while. So it's nice to have you on the airwaves tonight. How are you doing?
Doing good. The weather's cooled down. It's really nice. There's tons of mosquitoes over here.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's not making people feel good.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, they're not used to having mosquitoes over in the Phoenix area, right? And that's kind of odd.
I know. We even have them in our group rooms.
Oh, that doesn't help, does it? Another irritation factor, right? So can you tell the audience a little bit about the work that you do in Mesa, Arizona?
Okay. I work at a company. I think I can mention their name, CHC, and Correctional Healthcare, and we do court-appointed groups in this Mesa area, and actually we're pretty much all over the valley, and we give the groups that pertain to anger management, domestic violence, substance abuse, sex offenders, shoplifting, underage, and parenting, if I didn't mention parenting.
Mm-hmm.
And I teach four of those.
Wow, which ones do you teach?
I teach parenting, anger management, domestic violence, and substance abuse.
And out of those four groups, which one has the most participants in that?
That's a hard one. I mean, our groups are full. There's a lot of stress in the world today, and people let that out in ways that get them into these groups. And, you know, they reach their limit, and something happens, and they go over the limit. And now, anytime the police are called to a situation because of the difficult financial situation in every city, if the police get called, somebody's going to go and somehow pay for all of their coming out because it's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a very large issue in our groups. Certainly one of the commonly given reasons for their current upsetness, that they didn't think that it was necessary. And but if they come out on a domestic violence charge, one of the two are going to go. And usually it's the one that has any marks, the one that might have any kind of substance involved.
So how do they make that determination, do you know?
It's rough. I mean, the police have a very tough call. And then they have to, you know, if there is a court, they have to go there and defend their choice. So But, you know, they have certain criteria that they go by, and the men want to say, it's always the man. And the women's group say, why are they picking me?
Mm-hmm.
So it's...
Depends on the circumstances.
It always depends on the circumstances.
Exactly, yeah.
Children present, alcohol present, that's very, I would say probably in about 45 to 50% of the people that do come in there for substance abuse, for anger management, domestic violence, that alcohol is involved. That is the one thing that I can say to people, you know, if you're going to go out and have a good time, make sure that you know what you're doing.
Yeah, know your limits and stop where, yeah, exactly, walk away. Or if there's, you know, an issue that fuels up, then learn to walk away from it versus engaging in that fighting, especially when there's alcohol and or drugs involved. Now, I used to work at a domestic violence shelter, and you're right. There were a lot of instances that predated whatever happened with the violent situation. So, yeah, it just lets down a lot of barriers, and people just start going at it physically. So, yeah, that's horrible. I mean, well, you know, the whole situation now in the news with all these NFL players, especially Ray Rice, and seeing that video and
Peterson, you know.
And Peterson, whole. Right, exactly. I mean, it's, you know, what happened with those? It seems like it's more prevalent now. Would you agree, or is it just that the media is giving it more attention?
Oh, I think that there's been, you know, we even had a very, you know, famous, you know, coach come forward and saying that he's known of issue after issue after issue of domestic violence among the players and their, you know, wives, spouses, girlfriends and things, but that they just went, they were put under the table. And so, yeah, that's going to come out. And certainly in my groups, we talked about it a lot in the parenting group. You know, I was able to get, because those pictures are available and show, and it's and everybody is ooh ah, we would never do that, would never do that. But they sit there and talk about how that happened to them when they were growing up. So what we're doing, we're all on, you know, we're on a precipice here, and you know, we're in the midst of incredible changes. And they're happening so fast and rapid that we can't even keep up with, you know, administering truly healthy alternatives and healthy things for people, you know, before they get into these kinds of situations. It goes back to our educational system.
Right.
And we've always been lacking when it comes to emotions and behavior and psychology and counseling. I mean, counselors have only been in the school, in the elementary schools for the last, you know, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so there has to be a starting point for this where it's like addressed in a very serious manner, because right now everybody's constantly aware that this is a business. People are making money off of it. They're sending their kids to school and college. And they're, you know, I'm one of them. I work in the business where people are coming in there in these, like, horrifying situations. And it's not good for our community. It's not good for our general financial situation, because it's pulling people into the system. And once you've got a finger in that system, Julianne, It's not a pretty sight.
I would imagine, and I would imagine also that there are several of the men that you've worked with who have been repeat offenders. And I mean, what do you do with that when they're cycling through the system?
Well, everybody thinks about repeat offenders in the area of domestic violence and things like that, and they shudder. But most of the repeat offenders come through our substance abuse situations. You know, repeated DUIs. You know, that is a poison out here in our in our community that where tremendous amounts of education needs to be done for people. And, you know, at a very, very early age. And hopefully it's going to, you know, people, I mean, historically, things really don't start happening until lots and lots of people start dying. And the,
yeah, that's a sad truth. I know, until something starts kicking up into that system, because otherwise it's just like, well, okay, it's business as usual, right?
Now look, here's this big massive guy and is this slender girl, and he cocks her on the jaw and she's down and out. He had to drag her out of that thing, out of that elevator.
Right. That made me shudder.
All kinds of hoop and raw about domestic violence and blah, blah, blah. Hello, it's been here for a long time. And now we have to really start educating. Now people who are up in the, you know, making, how many million is that guy making, you know, this year?
Right.
You know, maybe $12 million this year. And he's hitting a girl and he's throwing that away. And it's gone now.
Right. Which it should be. But, you know, they should have seen the signs before that. And, you know, again, it's, you know, all this media exposure to all of these problems now, people can't hide like they used to. I'm sure this has been going on in the NFL for decades. And they've just turned a blind eye to it. And finally, things are coming to light, which they should, because, you know, there's kids that look up to these football players like they're heroes, and they want to be grow up and be like them. Well, no, you really don't want to be like that, and, you know, a violence offender and doing all these things on the side that you're getting away with, breaking the law, you know, committing these heinous acts.
I guess the message that you and I are trying to get across to people is, like, if there is any kind of potential in a relationship and a new friend and, in, you know, in a family member that suddenly has a change of personality or anything, if there's anything that comes across to you that is endangering your family and your peace of mind, you need to get help immediately. Don't wait.
Yeah, because in cases like that, it doesn't get better if you don't do something about it. Action needs to be taken against, you know, somebody that's losing their temper.
Well, we have cell phones now, man. Everybody's out of the closet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a good point. Well, we're gonna come back after this commercial break, okay?
The Chicago School of Professional Psychology offers numerous psychology, behavioral, and health-related science graduate degrees at three campuses: Los Angeles, California, including branches in Westwood and Irvine; Chicago, Illinois; and Washington, D.C. and online. The Chicago School prepares students to meet the ever-changing mental health needs of society through classroom experience and real-world training. The Chicago School Counseling Centers in Irvine and Westwood provide caring, confidential, and affordable psychological services to individuals and their families. For more information, visit thechicagoschool.edu.
And thank you to the Chicago School of Professional Psychology for sponsoring Psych 101. And if you would like to join us in this conversation, our number is 800-893-9562. Again, that's 800-893-9562. So, Sat, when you are doing group therapy with these men who are substance abusers and in a domestic violence situation, where do you start in a situation like that?
Well, they come in there pretty angry usually. If not angry, just really upset and traumatized by the situation. And I let them introduce themselves, tell why they're in there, and let everybody in the group respond and ask questions, and it's an open forum. It's completely closed, and what's said in there stays in there. And what do I say? You know, welcome, and sorry it all happened. And if they come out, I have, you know, really strict rules in there. There's in no way any defaming or making excuses or what happened. You can describe what happened, but I don't allow the excuses. And because there's no growth until you see that in some way, you helped create the situation and at least take responsibility for all that you participated in.
Mm-hmm.
Going from there, okay, let's get going.
So, first of all, is getting them to, how much do they self-disclose up front? I mean, is everybody like, they have to share at least a little bit, or are they allowed to keep silent if they want to?
I let them pass. You know, we start off with, you know, how was your week? What are your highs and lows? I give them a chance to, if somebody comes in there with an issue that is just like knocking them on their butt, I just, you know, we can spend the entire class talking with them. And
so how many sessions do you have on average with a man that's coming through the system? Or does it make a difference whether they're like domestic violence or substance abusers? Is there different lengths of programs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, usually substance abusers will start off with a determination of their past history and how involved they were and what the signs are of true addiction. And if they have had repeated offenses, you can get up to like, well, I have a lady over there from California that's got 54 hours.
Mm-hmm.
of 54 sessions. That's 108 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. And for domestic violence, usually we start out at 26 required by the Mesa Courts.
So is it in weekly sessions? So it's about a half of a year?
Mm-hmm, and it's, yeah. And that's, you know, and then if it's a repeat, or if there were children in the area that were privy to what went on, they'll normally get 36 hours. Mm-hmm. Right away.
Mm-hmm.
And possibly parenting classes.
Which they should.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, you know, doing any domestic violence in front of children, you know, they don't realize that, and they probably don't realize because it's, again, it's that intergenerational cycle of maybe the offender saw that when they were growing up, that appeared normal. And then they repeated it in their own households as adults, turn around, right. And they start doing the same thing that was done to them when they were children.
Yeah, it's what we do, right?
Yeah. Yeah, is that...
Have you made a mistake in your life?
Oh, yeah, of course. Everybody's made mistakes. But the key is learning from your mistakes, yeah. Right? Right.
Exactly. And that's then... And the true test of being a responsible adult is taking responsibility for everything in your life. Not some, all.
So what percentage of the men that you work with get to that point, would you estimate?
Where they walk out of their room, out of the room on the last day and they're good?
And they go out and behave?
You know, we do have repeat offenders.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question about it. But we do have those that succeed a lot.
That's good.
And I like the atmosphere that goes on at my place of business, and that is everything for the for the real healing that needs to take place. And that's our approach: is this is not the punitive part of what has happened to you. That's already over. You know, you spent time in the tents with Joe Arpaio's fellows.
Yes, yes. They still have Tent City out there with Sheriff Joe, yeah. Huh? Yeah. Notorious out in the Arizona area. He's been on national news. He's something else. How long has he been in office now? Long time, yeah. He's an interesting character, yes.
And I challenge them to look at what's happening as, you know, a learning experience and take advantage of it. You're not paying. I mean, they're paying. If they were paying to go into a real counseling group on their own privately, I mean, they'd be paying about $120 a session.
Mm-hmm.
And here they're paying $20.
Yeah, that's a good deal.
And, something bad happened. Take a look at it now and see how you can grow from this situation.
So what makes the difference between a man that starts taking responsibility for his actions and maybe the light bulb goes off over his head and he goes, I need to make a change. This isn't working anymore and I'm hurting myself and I'm hurting the people that I love. Versus the person that walks out of there and just like, okay, you know, whatever, and I'm going to go out and do whatever the hell I want to do when I get out of here and is the repeat offender. What's the difference between those two clients?
Well, one, it warms my heart and I feel absolutely ecstatic and it's a real high, almost a religious experience. And the other, job security, because I know he's coming back.
Yeah, sadly enough.
Unless, sadly, that's just the way it is. And you do what you can, and you try to take as little home with you as possible. And so that I'm able to go in next time with objectivity and care and loving in my heart, and that's otherwise why I do it.
Right. Exactly. You have to go in with almost like a clean slate every morning when you go into work as a therapist, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's challenging.
that's a good one, you know. And on a good day, it happens.
Yes, yes. So what is your most challenging type of client to work with?
Well, I've had my heart go pitter-patter, you know, with somebody completely tatted up and having had prison time, and they're not a happy camper.
Mm-hmm.
And the way things operate in the prison environment is through intimidation. And that's one thing that folks coming out of prison have, that's something that they need to drop that immediately. Even though they used it to survive in that environment, can't do it here. Or you end up in this group.
Mm-hmm.
And I teach a group of parolees, a substance abuse group, and those are the issues that we talk about. And because they're there and they're, you know, living in a halfway house or with a relative, some are on their own. But it's tough. It's tough when you've gone into that prison system and come back out. I mean, it's tough.
Yeah, I bet they come out a little more hardened when they come out, correct?
Well, there's, yeah, that. And, you know, certainly they had experiences there. And just trying to get a job as a felon, you know, get into something where you can, you know, have your dreams, you know, realized, you know, which takes money today. So it's difficult for them. But keep at it and keep giving what you can.
Yeah.
Don't give up, never surrender. And I'm a lot tougher than I used to be.
I bet. Yeah. You've always been a gentle soul. You're still a gentle soul in my book, so you can go in and be tough with them, but you come out and you're a different person, so switch it on, switch it off, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, understand. So we are going to take a bit of a musical break, and we're going to come back, and we are going to continue the conversation with Sat Khalsa in Mesa, Arizona. Welcome back to Psych 101 with Julianne Good and Sat Khalsa in Mesa, Arizona. We are talking about men's issues and group therapy and the work that Sat does in Mesa. And Sat, I would like to ask you about incorporating some of your spiritual background into the groups that you work with.
Right. I divulge something about myself, my past. I don't, you know, hesitate. Anything that I think that will inspire somebody to, you know, take a move and reach out, I do it. And I've studied yoga and, you know, what kinds of foods to eat and when to eat them and what to mix and what not to mix. And so when, for example, if I'm talking with somebody in substance abuse, one of the things we talk about is, you know, what do you start taking care of in order to get your, so that your emotional state is not always, you know, pulling you towards using more and getting yourself into trouble and, you know, having a good diet, getting rest, getting exercise, all these kinds of things are necessary. And so I'll go through, you know, a diet and what you can and should and would be better off eating to prevent, you know, bringing more stress into your life. And for domestic violence folks, and I understand every class that I teach, I somehow bring in, because you know me, Julian, I'm kind of a, you know, I'm the old hippie counselor. Yogi.
We love you for it. That's right. Down to earth. That's right.
And I just, you know, I tell him, you know, like, don't forget where you are. And if a person is making these, like, big mistakes in their life, that's, like, taking all of their possibility for a good future, well, then I understand that the best thing that I can do for them is to somehow get them to understand, to look at, where are you? You're on a little ball of mud shooting through space, and we're kind of unique, and start having more of an attitude of gratitude, like Yogi Bhajan used to say.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, talking along those lines, and I'll talk to them about exercising and taking care of their body and, you know, going into those kinds of things. We do get into spiritual things sometimes, but I kind of shy away from it.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's you know, I've had, you know, Mormon people in there before, and I've had, you know, real devout Christians in there before that, you know, talked about Christ. And I don't, like, get in there and say, you know, we don't do that. You know, I just say that's absolutely a good way to think and then move it into another area. So,
yeah, well, I think a lot of people don't realize, too, that whatever kind of counseling you're doing, unless it's within a religious realm, like at a church or synagogue or whatever, that counselors really kind of need to stay away from the religious issues, because that's part of our ethics.
Well, but, you know, reality is it's very difficult to do that, but you can do it gracefully.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, without feeling the person is being shut down.
Right.
And that their views are respected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just can't influence them one way or the other. I think it's the situation is like if you have a spiritual or religious practice and it is helping you become a better person, it's helping you to keep grounded and centered, then by all means practice that.
Right. Well, the wonderful thing about counseling is, you know, that I get from it, because it really, you know, it feeds my soul, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
And the fastest way to learn something is to teach it. And so I learn every day a lot from these folks, and the mistakes that they're making are just, they just, you know, they're incredible. I mean, and I think that my portrayal to them is somebody who, hey, I could have been there myself. That is, I think, something that could happen to me even.
Mm-hmm.
And now, here's the choice you made. Luckily, I've made choices that haven't, you know, put me into that situation, but that's the one you did. Do you know why? And, you know, it made me think of Samuel Clemens. He made this comment, you know, the two important days in a person's life is, number one, the day you're born, and number two, the day you know why.
Mm, that's deep.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where I try to take them on a daily basis through whatever subject matter that we bring up. And a lot of it is didactic and needs to get across so that they know the technical terms and things like that. But it can always branch off into more, you know, esoteric and personal feeling stuff.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds to me like you're trying to bring them to the point of learning meaning and purpose within life, to see beyond the choices that they've made and make better, healthier choices down the road instead of keeping repeating the cycle and, you know, having to see you for another 26 weeks up the road somewhere, right?
Exactly. Stay out of the limelight.
Yeah.
When it's time to put on their bathroom mirror, stay out of the limelight. If you know, I mean, realistically, there's not one of us that hasn't had situations in our life that have left scars.
Mm-hmm.
And any one of us, and when we made the most silly mistakes in our life, you know, it isn't like we got up that morning and said, hey, I'm going to screw up my life today.
Right. Hopefully not.
They're unplanned, and they're just like, and I respect that human characteristic in every one of us. We are capable of making some really incredible mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
They're
all
called
of us.
Accidents. They're called accidents. And we learn from them, or we don't.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to really learn from it is to take full responsibility, or at least your part.
Yeah.
And be real about it. And don't run from it. And because if you try to run from it, you're going to run right into another one of my groups.
Take your pick. Which one would you like to do, right?
Hey, we're living on a ball. You can't go any place but back to where you started.
Exactly. I know.
And we want to go back to a place that is full of wisdom, understanding, and acceptance of your stuff.
Mm-hmm. And enlightenment. You know, coming to the point where it's like, okay, well, I made mistakes. It's behind me. I learned from them. I went and made my apologies to people. I reprimanded the situation, and now I get to have a fresh start. It's never too late to have a fresh start in life, period.
Never
too old. That's my biggest motto right now is you are never too old to change your life.
I saw in the newspaper here, about a year ago, two 91-year-old Native American ladies out here on one of our reservations that got their doctorate.
Ah, I love it. And philosophy, right? The sages.
You know, we're all in this muddly mess that is going on today together. Nobody's going anywhere unless you go somewhere. Mm-hmm. And we're all going somewhere eventually.
Yes. Hopefully forward.
Just that whole concept of passing it forward, is that what it's called? You know, where you do something for somebody.
Paying it forward, yeah.
Start seeing, you know, human nature and the creation as something divine instead of something to manipulate and get what you can out of it. Mm-hmm. And that whole thought process has just got us in a turmoil on this little ball of mud.
Yes, it has. It's caused chaos.
And I praise what you're doing. I think it is so cool.
Thank you. You too. You're doing some great work out there.
I know.
It's hard stuff. Yes. Yes. So we're going to take our last commercial break, and we will come back with Sat Khalsa.
Are you searching for answers and insight to life issues? Is the behavior of family or friends questionable or concerning? Find tips and possible solutions from the convenience of your own PC, cell phone, or tablet at therapycable.com. Therapy Cable has the most comprehensive library of contemporary therapy videos online. Help may be as easy as a few clicks away. Therapy Cable offers comprehensive therapy videos ranging from addiction to self-care and contact information for qualified providers. Find the answers to your life challenges at therapycable.com.
And welcome back to Psych 1-on-1 with Julianne Good and Sat Khalsa. And we're going to wrap up this session in a little while here. And Sat, what have you ever worked with men that when you got done with all the sessions, you thought, this person can't be fixed?
Can't be fixed. Oof. Well, nobody comes through my situation that I feel that about them. I mean, even the folks that are there, you know, in the parole group, they're just, we're all just so, I don't know, I felt this, you know, before I got into yoga, you know, with Yogiji back in the day, and just the feeling like, you know, gosh, we're all so innocent. You know, we're so new in this whole situation, and we're just trying to muddle our way through it. And for some reason, that ridiculous thought has carried me through to this day. And I just continue having faith in all of us and whatever, you know, the creative force is, you know, doing. And, you know, it's the only game in town, for God's sake.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't plan to get, you know, like throw in the towel on it yet. We're still, you know, we all got to keep trucking and making the best of it. Otherwise, the alternative sucks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't give up. Never surrender. You know, Galaxy Quest. Best movie out there.
So you keep them pretty hopeful and on track and trying to see the big picture of life.
Yep.
Yeah.
Never give up, never surrender.
Yeah. That's fantastic. That's got to be hard because I would imagine some of the men are pretty, you know, hardened. And you said that, you know, a lot of them come in with, you know, probably a lifetime of excuses of why they haven't done this and why they behave like that. And, you know, just even trying to drop the excuses or look at them for what they have served, the purpose that they've served.
I just kind of see them as some very unruly yoga students.
You get some mats out for them. Make them do Breath of Fire.
Well, at least I do it.
Yeah.
Before groups, and I do. I get up every morning. I do my stuff, you know, still, and yoga keeps me balanced and going, and I eat good, and tennis, you know, weekly, and just get out and love life. Mm-hmm. What I hear the other day, if you aren't having fun, you're doing something really wrong.
Exactly. You got to have some fun. You got to see some humor here and there, right? Can't take life too seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It exercises the muscles of the face better than anything.
It does. And it just imagine, I mean, the internal exercising you get to just in your stomach and your diaphragm is just awesome, right?
You know, I got people in my group that have an issue with my age, because I feel like I'm 74 and I'm still riding a motorcycle and playing tennis and blah, blah, blah. And they're just, you know, kind of in awe of that whole situation. And I let them know, like, look, the only way you're going to stay young in your soul is to get rid of your resentments.
Mm-hmm.
Figure them out. Work them out. Do what you can. Don't take your final breath being pissed off.
Right.
It's just, you know, don't know what's going to happen. Very few of us have any ideas to what's going to happen, you know, later. There's a lot of faith. But in reality, I can't remember. Can you?
No.
There you go.
I know. Yeah, and you're right. You've got to drop the need for vengefulness and regrets and all that heavy baggage that one can carry around with them, you know?
Forever. So many of my clients have relatives, brothers, sisters, fathers, mothers. They haven't talked to them for years. It freaks me out. But that's the way it is these days.
Yeah. Is it because of the criminal activity and the addiction? And is that usually what the case is?
Can be that. Can be just, you know, circumstances of parenthood and broken families. I mean, how many broken families there are? You know, how many people are... I mean, the people that are coming into my domestic violence group, most of them are separating from the person that they were living with.
Mm-hmm.
Be it a wife or a girlfriend. Because it's a felony.
Right.
Domestic violence on your record. And that's no small thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the money that it's taken, you know, through the whole thing. So that is an unfortunate ramification of, or a result of that experience for these people very often.
Yeah. And there's so many.
It's a bad sickness in our society. We've got to see it like that.
Right. Well, hopefully through the bad press of NFL, people are going to start getting educated about really what goes on with domestic violence cases. And if you know of anybody that's the situation that they're living in, or you're one of those people, please go get help. There's a lot of help out there, and it happens quite frequently, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's something that you can get help for, period.
Exactly. Boy, you're good.
Yeah, well, actually, you know, because of working with the domestic violence shelter for so long, I was, you know, that's one of my advocacies is talking to people about DV situations, because it is common, and we're still living in a society where, you know, if we'll just, you know, be quiet about. We won't report it. We won't get involved. We were afraid if we get involved, something horrible is going to happen. But most of the time, it's like if you don't get involved somehow, then something worse is probably going to happen, so, or it's a possibility. So, you know,
it will always get worse.
Yeah. Unless something intervenes and comes in and changes that system. And it can be changed, but it is work. As you know, you have to work with the offenders. I've worked with the victims and the children. And that's a whole different world. And a lot of attachment problems and a lot of emotional problems that on both sides. You know, it's really a tough issue, but it is workable.
There's a lot of world problems going on right now, Julianne, and I think that if we just, like, start with, you know, take baby steps as we start, you know, opening ourselves up to resolving our resentments and issues, and start with the people around us, start hugging and loving and telling the people around you that you love them.
Yes, that's important.
And it only takes one in a family to start that going.
Yeah.
It's such an easy thing to do and so good and so healthy.
Mm-hmm. Speaking beautiful words is easier than one would think. But just start doing it. Yes.
Yeah,
exactly. So is there anything else you would like to add to our conversation as we're wrapping up?
I'm so grateful for you doing this, and I think your listeners are very, very blessed to have you. And
thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you. Thank you, Sat. And your clients are very fortunate to have you, too. You're a wonderful person and just such a good friend, so I really appreciate.
Thank you, and come in for David's birthday.
Okay, I will. Go swimming when it's not frying out in Phoenix. That's lovely. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much, Sat Khalsa, for being on my show.
Thank you.
All right, Bye. Take care. Bye-bye. And if you would like to contact me, my email address is jgood8@verizon.net. My business number is 562-234-4650. And my office is down in Irvine, California. And also, if you would like to check out my Psychology Today website, you can go to Psychology Today and put in Julianne Good. That's JULIE-ANNGOODE. And I would love to hear from you. Please contact me if I can help you with anything. I'm here to help. So I would like to thank my board operator, Andy Jackson. Thank you so much for helping out tonight. And our executive producer, Jeremy Hansen, you rock. Thank you so much for being here. And I am on every Monday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I'm also archived onto iTunes Store. And this show will be downloaded within 24 to 48 hours at that site and also on skidrowstudios.com. So keep joining us. The Qumran Report is on next. And thank you so much for listening. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other now. Take care. Bye.